The being poor and needy is not something that we are probably that we look for to being in a poor and a needy place. But by the end of the message this morning, I hope that we will understand that actually it can be a good place. I'd like to begin with a very familiar passage over in the 14th chapter of Matthew. And as I was looking to the Lord and of what He would have, knew the service was coming up for Sunday morning and was asking the Lord what He would have for us. And this is the message the Lord gave me is nothing new as far as it's not a new gospel. It's old gospel, but I find comfort in the old truth. And this is, so we're going to go back to the 14th chapter of Matthew with a story, an incident that took place in the 13th, we'll begin reading with the 13th verse, 14th chapter of Matthew. It said, when Jesus heard of it, He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And keep in mind, Jesus was wanting to get away by Himself a little bit. Jesus got weary of the multitudes, and He needed personal time to recoup and to be reinvigorated and re-inspired by the Lord. And so He was wanting to get away, but when the people heard, they followed Him on foot out of the city. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. You keep in mind here that there was a great multitude that followed Jesus. In this place, we find that there were 5,000 men plus women and children. So there's normally a lot more women and children than there are men. So this was indeed a great multitude. And when He looked on the multitude, He was not annoyed at them. He was not frustrated at them. But it said He was moved with compassion. Do you know this morning that when the Lord looks on us, He is still being moved with compassion? And I take such great comfort and great courage to know that when the Lord looks on me and He looks on us and He sees the needs that we have, that He is not disgusted with us. He is not annoyed, but He is being moved with compassion, and He looked on their needs, and it said He healed their sick. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him and said, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go in the villages and buy themselves victuals or food. And Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. In other words, they were hungry. They had followed Jesus. And sometimes when you follow Jesus, you will find yourself in some desert places. Just because you are following the Messiah does not mean that the table's always going to be full. And it does not mean that everything is, you're not going to have any difficulties or problems. They had followed Jesus and they were hungry. And so the disciples were like, Lord, you need to go ahead and send them back home because it's past time to eat. And it's kind of like if you have guests at your house and they were unexpected and you really didn't have any food to serve them. It's kind of like, okay, it's getting close to supper time. I hope they leave soon because we don't have any food. Well, that's kind of how the disciples were feeling, I think. And Jesus said, they don't need to go away. Don't send them away. He said, give them to eat. And they said unto Him, here we just have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And some of that is recorded more in some of the other Gospels. But and there's so many wonderful lessons to get from this incident. But that we only have 5 loaves, they said, and 2 fish. And He said, bring them to Me. And He commanded the multitude to sit down, and He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And He looked up to heaven, and He blessed and brake. And He gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 basketful. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Isn't that a beautiful story? Do you realize this morning that the Lord, when He looks on us, He is still saying that today. Don't send them away lest they faint by the wayside. Now, I'm quoting from a scripture in the next chapter. This happened recorded of Jesus feeding the multitudes two times. One time here in Matthew recorded it in the 14th chapter. And if you go to the next chapter, you find later in the chapter, the multitude were following Jesus again. And in that instance, it says there were 4,000 men, besides women and children, and there were 7 loaves and a few fish. So Jesus did the same thing there. In that instance, it tells us in the 30th verse that it said great multitudes came to him, those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed and many others. Which category do you fall in this morning? Maybe your need isn't named out. You might be one of the many others. But it said here, and many others, and they were cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And it talks about that the dumb spoke, the maimed were whole, the lame walked, and the blind saw, and they glorified Jesus. And Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days. Now it wasn't just past supper time. Now he said they've been here 3 days and they don't have anything to eat, and I'm not going to send them away fasting lest they faint by the way. The moral of the story for the moment is this, that when we have needs in our life, the Lord is moved with compassion. And sometimes there may be people in your life that are frustrated with you, or you may be frustrated at life. But when we come to the Lord, he looks at where we are and he looks on us and he is moved with compassion. And he loves us and he cares about us and he's saying, don't go away in that condition. Because what would it be like if someone said, yes, but my dad or my son or my mother, they went out in the wilderness and followed Jesus and they fainted on the way back home because they were hungry. Jesus did not want that to be their testimony. And you know that the Lord doesn't want that to be our testimony this morning, that I started out to follow the Lord, but I didn't have the resources that I needed, and I fainted by the way, and I couldn't make it. And I'd gone out to see Jesus. You know, there are times that probably all of us, if we would just be open and vulnerable, we would say we were getting close to feeling like fainting by the way. But the good news is this morning the Lord is very interested in each one of us. And he's saying, you don't have to go away hungry. You don't have to go away hungry because I have compassion on the people. And this is why Jesus came. And we may have even read this last Sunday. But Jesus came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to who? To the poor. Right? And then he goes on and he talks about he has sent me to heal the broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. But Jesus came to bring the gospel to the poor. And when you are poor, you don't have ample resources. Isn't that the definition of poor? Because I want us to understand, is there a difference between poor and needy? One of the translations of poor in the Greek actually means in the Greek depressed in mind or circumstance. I am poor. I am depressed in circumstance. That might fit a lot of us, might it not? It might be I'm depressed in mind. I'm depressed or reduced. I am reduced in this area of my life. That was the condition of many of the multitude that followed Jesus. They were in a state of poverty because of their hunger. We didn't bring food with us. We don't have the resources, and the Lord worked a miracle. I mean, how many of us would have the faith if you had 4,000 people? Let's just take Monarch, for example. We're not even close to that. And you had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And you said, okay, call them out. Tell them to line up and come on. That would be faith, right? Because if we were able to feed them all, that would be a great miracle that took place. We don't always know how God is going to work in our life. I want us to know we do not know how God is going to work. But when we will recognize our poverty, when we recognize and are willing to say, I'm hungry. Have you ever asked someone, said that maybe a visitor, someone at your house, say, are you hungry? I'll get you something. No, I'm fine. You know when someone says they're fine, what that means to me? There's a few of you that probably know. I won't just take you at your word. Well, I'm fine. If I say I'm fine, that might mean I'm still hungry, but I'm okay and I'm going to make it. Now, if I'm at the place of fainting, I might say, well, do you have a little something? But I haven't really been to that place too many times. So when we come to the Lord, if we will acknowledge, Lord, I have a need in my life. I'm struggling here. I don't know if I can make it in my condition, in my current present condition. I have a need in my life, Lord. And the Lord's saying, you don't have to go away the same way that you came. He came to minister to us in our poverty, thank the Lord. And so to be poor, talk about circumstances. I would just in our very practical thinking, someone that's poor doesn't necessarily mean that they're just hungry, right? Because if I have bread and water and I have something very simple to eat and I'm barely making an existence, but I still have food and shelter, I'm poor because maybe I don't know about tomorrow's meal, but I had something to eat today. I would say that's poor. There's no excess. But do you know what needy is? And we're going to look at a few scriptures that use this term poor and needy. Because poor means you can be poor or you can be poor and needy. Poor means you may have enough to subsist on, but you don't have an abundance. But when you are poor and needy, you don't even have resources. You don't even have enough to go on. If you're poor and needy, you don't have food to eat when you're hungry. So not only are you poor, you're needy. Needy means destitute. I don't have the necessary things in my life. So Jesus came to the poor and the needy. And this was the condition and the place that David found himself in Psalm 40. In the 40th Psalm, in the 17th verse, David said, I am poor and needy. Do you know it's kind of difficult for a man to say that? Do you know women are a lot more, and please, I don't want to get into a gender debate here. But I think from my experience of the last half century, that sounds like it's been a few years, it seems to me that women are maybe more predisposed to acknowledge neediness. And there is something about the way that God created men is to be strong. And God made us that way, to be strong. And there is a sense of, might I say, pride without meaning a sinful pride, but a sense of strength that I'll make it. I'm okay. I'm going to do it. But David came to a place that he was willing to acknowledge. In Psalm 40, verse 17, he said, I am poor and needy. In other words, I am destitute. I'm destitute, Lord. I'm lacking the resources, and I have a need, and I'm poor and needy. But he didn't stop there with that acknowledgement. He said, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Isn't that beautiful? That's exactly what happened when Jesus fed the multitude. Jesus saw their need and he had compassion on them. When the Lord looks on us, men and women alike, he sees exactly the things that we're struggling with. He knows the things that we're worried about. He sees the things that we're struggling with. He sees our temptations. He sees our financial needs. He sees our physical needs. He sees the spiritual battles that we're having. He sees the things that, and he knows the things that are running through our mind that we can't get rid of. And he is thinking about us. He hasn't forgotten us. And David was like, Lord, I'm poor and needy. Okay, then, but the Lord's thinking about me. You know, the Lord has not forgotten you this morning. The Lord has not forgotten us. And I know sometimes, this is goes a little along what I shared with y'all a little earlier, but I told Renee yesterday or the day before, it just seems like the enemy is coming from all different directions, and there's circumstances and stresses for all different nature of stresses and pressures and circumstances. But the Lord's thinking. The Lord has not forgotten us. He has not forgotten you this morning, thank the Lord. So David said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Is not this where our help's going to come from this morning? Do you realize that one of the first and most important steps to getting help is recognizing that I'm poor and needy? Because as long as I'm not willing to acknowledge that, I'm not willing to look for a solution to my problem. But when I can begin to acknowledge that I am poor and needy, I'm destitute, I do not have what is necessary. When I can begin to acknowledge that, it opens up the door for the Lord to begin to come in and work like only He can. So David said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me, thou art my help and my deliverer. And then he said, make no tarrying, O my God. I want to ask for a show of hands this morning, but are there any areas of your life that you're kind of feeling like you without resources? Sometimes there might be enough for today, but when you're poor, you look to the future and it looks kind of bleak. You know, that might be physically or financially, and you look to the future, it's like, yeah, I had food to eat today and paid the bills today, but you know, I look out to the future and it doesn't look real good. And yet, the Lord is looking on us, and He is thinking about us. The Lord thinketh upon me. In the difficulties of life, God has not forsaken His people. David used this term again in Psalm 86. David said in verse 1, he said, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. Lord, I'm seeking you, for I am poor and needy. I'm poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusted in thee. It is in our poverty this morning. It's in our poverty that we are going to find the reality of God's grace and strength and help in the time of our need. It's in our poverty. So that's the beauty of coming to a place that we recognize that we're poor and needy, is because that's where we find the riches of the Lord. You know, that's some of the times, and I don't look forward to those times in the sense that the stresses of life, you all know what I'm talking about. They have so many different shapes and forms. But those stresses of life, we don't look forward to them. But have you not found in your life that it's at those places that the presence of the Lord has been the richest, when you come to this place and just say, Lord, I'm poor and needy. I had a number of burdens this week, and I was fasting, and I was praying, and I was seeking God. And it's like, Lord, there are so many different situations that I'm facing right now. I'm helpless. There is nothing I can do. Circumstances, physically, financially, all the different things of life. There's things, Lord, I can't do anything about it. And yet, it paves the way for the Lord to come through and start revealing His power and revealing His strength and giving us courage. No, the Lord is still thinking about you. He has not forgotten you. He's going to be in your tomorrows. But it takes us coming to this place to say, Lord, I'm needy. And when we will acknowledge that, the Lord will begin to work. One of the things we are looking for some communication. And we're seeking God and praying, Lord, we've got to know what's going on. We've got to know. And then, I don't know if it was in the middle of the night or when it was, and that ding came after so long, it was like, oh, the Lord answered prayer. The Lord answered prayer. The Lord was working with someone else, and the Lord started working. Do you realize it's like God has not left us destitute? And if you feel destitute, Is it all right to tell you you're in a good place? It's like, ouch. You're in a place, if we'll acknowledge it, the Lord can begin to help us. In temptation, if you feel like you're destitute and poor and needy, do you know the Lord said that He would make a way to escape for you? In temptation, when it just seems like the devil is bombarding you to say, Lord, I am poor and needy. And the Lord's like, thank you. I knew you were all the time, because this is when He can help. Remember, He talked to the church of the Laodiceans in Revelation, and He said, because you say you are rich and increased with goods, and He said, thou knowest not that you're wretched and miserable and blind and or poor and blind and naked. In other words, I can't help you because you think you've got it all together. You think that you're rich and increased. You don't have need of anything. I can't help you. And all the time I see that you have need. But when we can become as David and say, Lord, I've got a need in my life. I'm struggling here. Whether it be with temptation, whether it be spiritually. Do you know who God gives grace to? The humble. How do we get humble? Do you know what really brings us to a place of humility? Is when we get to this place right here. It's like, Lord, I don't have the resources. I'm destitute. I'm destitute, Lord. That means that I'm not going around thinking I can handle this. I can make it. I can do it. I can come and say, Lord, I'm humbling myself before your throne, and I have a need. That's when the power of God starts coming in. And that's why Paul said that he would rather have the thorn in the flesh that he might know the power of Christ. Because he found that that was the place that he found the riches and the strength of God. So I just want to encourage us, whether it be a physical battle you're in, a financial struggle, a relationship problem, circumstances in your life, when we can begin to acknowledge that we are poor and needy, I want us to remind us that the Lord has not forgotten you. The Lord is still working miracles, and He still wants to work, and He will see you through those places because He's moved with compassion, and He's thinking about you. There's a passage of Scripture in Isaiah 25, verse 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor. See, those that just barely were making it, just no resources, but just maybe... He's been a strength to the poor. And he said, a strength to the needy in his distress. This is a beautiful passage. If you don't have it marked in your Bible and you mark your Bible, this is one of the beautiful promises and prayers to the Lord. Isaiah 25, 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress. Because isn't it neediness that causes distress? As long as we're just poor, at least I'm making it today. But when you are poor and needy, that means you're not even making it today. Poor means I'm worried about tomorrow. Poor and needy means I'm not making it today. He has been a strength to the needy in his distress. Lord, I'm feeling a lot of distress. Thank God he has been a strength so many times. A refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. And then also in Isaiah, here's another wonderful promise as we conclude the message this morning. In the book of Isaiah chapter 41, 17 and 18, when the poor and needy, because see, we're looking at this expression here now, when the poor and needy seek water, they're looking for resources. They're looking, something's going on. I don't have what I need. And there is no water. There is none. And their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. This is very similar. This is the prophet Isaiah now. Very similar to what David said. Lord, I'm poor and needy, but you're thinking about me, and you're my deliverer. The prophet Isaiah said the same thing, and Jesus showed us it was true when he fed the multitude. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. It said, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. You will not be forsaken this morning. No matter how heavy and how bad the storms get, no matter how distressed you are, the Lord will not forsake you if you will continually acknowledge your poorness, your poverty, and your neediness. He said, this is what he said he would do. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valley. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Isn't that wonderful? Those are promises of God to us this morning. That maybe today my tongue's swelling up because of a lack of thirst, but Lord, I acknowledge I'm poor and needy. And the Lord, it's saying, Lord, God hasn't forgotten you. I'm thinking about you, and I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. I'm going to open up water. I'm going to give you water where there was none. And so we conclude that prayer as we'll go back over there to Psalm 40 when David said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. He's my deliverer. And then he said, make no tarrying, O my God. Can we say amen to that, Lord? I'm poor and needy. Would you please not delay, Lord? Would you not? But here's the good news. God will not be too late. Okay? He's not going to be too late. He's going to be on time. That's not on my time. It's not on your time schedule. But let's keep the faith this morning. Let's keep the faith. And let's be willing to acknowledge. I want to especially challenge the brothers here. Let's be willing to acknowledge a state of poverty and neediness when we're in that place. That means I don't have what I need. And the Lord will be there to minister to us and help us, and he'll begin to make a way. I'm so thankful for the truth of the Word of God because I found that it works. And when you get in these tight places of poverty and neediness, it all starts seeming impossible again in the flesh. And that's why, and I'm preaching to myself here too this morning, that's why you get sick in your stomach. And yet, we have a wonderful God this morning. Amen.